It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 405. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request and follow me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Don't forget the wiki for the Mike Tech Show, where you can get links to all the past shows and great information, and that's at mtswiki.com. I have jam-packed show tonight. I got a bunch of things I want to talk about, and I got a voicemail, I got a promo, I got some music for the end of the show. So let's get started. With colleagues working from home or traveling for business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task. I have the solution, and that's GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are. It takes only seconds, and it's so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Now you can even participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. I love GoToMeeting and always recommend it to the Mike Tech Show listeners. Right now, you can try it free for 30 days, but you got to go to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. It's that easy. Just GoToMeeting.com, click on try it free, enter the promo code podcast. There's a couple things I want to discuss before I get to the voicemail and the email. Some weird networking issues with a client's computer. They're running Windows 7 Home Premium, and it's a HP laptop. Plenty of memory. Here's the interesting thing. Their system was infected with spyware and some viruses, and it was a mess, but it was a few months ago, and I deep cleaned it and thought I had everything removed, thought I had everything repaired, until this week he wanted to go, he wanted to add, make his HP printer a network printer, instead of connecting it via USB. And he has one of the Office Jet Pros. And I said, not a problem. I said, there's a wired networking port. This is a piece of cake. Well, he has a couple computers in the room, and all of them connected up real easy once I plugged this into the network, except for his. Every time I ran the software, it said it couldn't find the printer on the network. Yet, he was traversing the network going out to the internet. So on the surface, it appeared that his networking was working until I wanted to share some folders. Then I got another error. Then I looked at something. His firewall was completely broken, and I tried everything, and the firewall could not be repaired. Then I realized with the messages I was getting that the networking was broken somehow with one of these infections. And I decided, you know what? It's just easier for me to take 2 hours and redo the system from scratch. We have everything backed up, have the drivers. It's fairly simple. And I used one of my methods that I talked about on previous shows. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, I had three different systems that I had to reinstall Windows 7. And a couple shows ago, I have posted the links to where you can download the ISO images and burn them for all the versions of Windows 7. Then all you need is the Windows 7 key that's on the bottom or side of the machine. And what you're prompted to activate and call Microsoft. Three different systems this weekend, I activated quickly and cleanly with Microsoft being able to, you got to enter 9 sets of 6 digits. And then once you get that, it'll read back to you those 9 sets of more digits. And once you enter them, it activates and it's great. So when you're setting up a new system, before you call, make sure you have the network driver installed. Even if you didn't activate yet, make sure you have the network driver and you're connected to the internet. So this way, after you're done, you can successfully activate and get that genuine Windows logo that appears. I was able to do that a few times. I am very, very happy with those images and they're working perfectly. So I just wanted to share that story and how I had a great practical application. Now, those of you who follow me on Twitter will learn that I tweeted over the weekend a problem that one of my clients is having that he has Parallels, and once he updated his OS X Lion, Parallels, the Windows XP virtual machine running under Parallels, I could not get the network to work. We updated everything. I tried everything. So I said, how about moving to VMware Fusion? I said, I'm so familiar with VMware Fusion that any question or any problem you have, it's going to be easier for me to solve it. And this is an orthodontist, great guy. And he said, yes, let's do VMware. So I download the 30-day trial version before to make sure everything works before he pops for buying it. And it recognized the virtual machine from Parallels and said, hey, would you like to migrate this? So I said, hey, maybe I'll save a lot of time. Migrated it, had the same problem. So it wasn't so much that it was Parallels, so much it was the virtual machine of XP that had the network problem. I said, you know, I blew that away, and he gave me the XP CD that he had, and I reinstalled XP virtually under VMware Fusion, and it worked perfectly. So that's how I solved it. I don't like that solution. I wish I had found the root cause of why my virtual machine stopped working under Parallels and why I couldn't get an IP address. So the first thing you're saying, hey, if it couldn't get an IP address, why not just assign a manual one? I did, and that didn't work. And I used every suggestion that I was tweeted on over the weekend, and each one of those solutions, I thank you so much for all your recommendations. None of them worked. So it was just a complete rip and replace. Two devices that I'm going to have links to in the show that I purchased from Amazon. One of them is an IDE SATA to USB. I needed a new cable. $10. Yes, only $10. And you can take any IDE or SATA hard drive and make it USB. Those cable sets used to cost $20. $30. The thing works beautiful, and it's actually better built than the one that I had paid 3 times that a long time ago. So that was kind of wearing down. I really like this. For $10, you can't go wrong. Now, wait until you hear this for $5. How about a 2.5-inch case that you can, an enclosure that you can put a laptop hard drive? It comes with its own little pouch, a USB cable, and it comes with a screwdriver, a little mini screwdriver, all in a kit for $5. How can you not have a bunch of these? So if you have someone that wants to make, or you have a 2.5-inch drive laying around, or maybe someone upgrades and they go to a larger hard drive, what a great way to turn that little drive into an external USB drive. And for $5, you can't go wrong. So as I was scouring Amazon, I was seeing, wow, that was, you know, these are like really, really good prices. And while you're there, you know, when you pay that $10 or $5 for these great devices or anything else you buy, if you use my link, it helps contribute to me and I get a commission, and that's fabulous. It helps support the show. And I want to thank everybody for using my Amazon link. And that is Amazon.MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com/Amazon. And I really appreciate your support. And I'm going to continue finding these little gems at incredible prices and sharing them with you and putting the links out there, because you can't go wrong. And if you got Amazon Prime for the shipping and it's free shipping, man, that is the way to go for inexpensive little components and hardware that'll make you look great when you're in front of your client. A Windows 7 tip, and this I take for granted, because I know this and I do this all the time when I'm sharing printers or when I'm doing file sharing on a peer-to-peer network. But it's one of those features that I was doing that a couple times this week, and I said, I am going to include it in the show. If you want to share printers on a Windows 7 machine and you don't want to have everybody log in and you don't want to be presented with that, you got to use a login and a password, it's very simple to turn that off where it won't ask for a password. But you got to take a couple extra steps. And this is all versions of Windows 7. You go to Control Panel. Then I always pick the large icons. Then go Network and Sharing Center. Once that comes up, off to the left-hand side, you have an option to change Advanced Sharing Settings. And then for Home and Work, go down and turn on Network Discovery, turn on File and Printer Sharing, little radio button, and then this is the key. The radio button that says Turn Off Password Protected Sharing. So if you are on a trusted network, a home or small office, and you want to have simple printer sharing, this is a great tip that anybody moving from XP, you know, you don't have to do that, and we don't have that extra security feature. But now that that's turned on by default in Windows 7, we got to take these extra steps to turn it off, and it makes everything work great. No one's presented, you're not presented with that password to log in. Now, I'm not recommending that for everybody, because if you want to secure your printing and you want to have someone have an account, then of course go ahead, create a local account, assign a password, and then make sure that you give that to the person who needs to share it. But remember, if someone reboots, they may have to re-enter those credentials. I want to play this promo, and it was sent by Timpster, and it's for the Tech Chat Show. Give a listen.
Hello all, Tim Kelly here. Join Ray Bigham, Brian Walker, and myself as we discuss ways to improve your business, as well as current tech topics, tech news, and reviews. You can download our podcast or join us live every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time at www.techchatshow.com.
Thank you for that, and I will have a link to their website in the show notes. All right, a voicemail, and this is from Corey.
Hi, Mike. I'm sending this message in regards to the Intel Matrix Storage Manager driver. If you are using an SSD drive, you should definitely install this driver. The reason being that if you do not, trim support will not be enabled for the SSD. Along with this email, I am going to attach a text file which you can rename to .bat that will only install the Intel Matrix Storage Manager driver without the tray icon. Thanks.
Great voicemail. Thank you. And that text file will be in the show notes for you to download. And he goes on, he says, this is Corey, a blind listener to your podcast. I have attached an audio file that you can play on your show if you want regarding the installation of the Intel Matrix storage driver. I learned this info from last month's issue of Maximum PC. I also attached the BAT file and I renamed it to text, TXT, that will only install the driver and not install the tray icon. I am a blind computer tech, and I have used this file myself. Thanks for the great podcast. I look forward to hearing it every week, Corey. Thank you so much for listening and for taking the time to share that with us. Because, you know, I've always been bothered by what good is this Intel storage matrix monitor and driver. So thank you for responding to that. This is from Bruce, the email, and he says, hi, Mike. Thanks for reading my email on the show. I guess I didn't give you all the details about my situation about the unsigned ActiveX control for my IP cam. Actually, by the way, I misspoke last time. My browser version is IE9. This is the security settings that he has to turn on and then turn off for the IP camera. The reason that I have to go back to my security settings each time is that I don't want to leave the browser open to any unsigned ActiveX controls, just the one for the IP cam. Because of that, I reversed the changes after I got past the control that the camera pushes. Now, when the browser is opened again, it blocks the unsigned control until I temporarily change the security settings. I would like to permanently allow the control for that cam only. With Group Policy Editor in Windows 7 Pro and above, you can allow the exception to unsigned controls on an individual basis. And he has a link for the details. I am asking, is it possible by another means that does not require me to upgrade my OS to a more costly Windows 7 Pro? Thanks again, Bruce. I want you to try to, does it help? And I don't know if you put the IP address and make it a trusted site and add it in the trusted site and then only change the controls for the security on trusted sites. I think that may fix your problem. Nigel, quick tip. Have been looking for a way to find emails on Gmail, which are hogging lots of space. Came across this solution when browsing random tech articles. The website findbigmail.com is free and applies labels to large emails, so they're divided into 5 meg, 10 meg, and 25 meg. Perfect for when you're running out of mailbox space. Great tip. Thank you very, very much. Nigel, I really appreciate that. This is from Mike. Avira pop-ups. And you know I used to like Avira, and then last week, a week or so ago, I mentioned that I've abandoned Avira because of its abusive ads that constantly come up. Well, I tested this solution here, and it works. And he says, heard your recent show and how you are giving up on Avira. The link below gives instructions on how to disable those annoying pop-ups. Maybe it will help. This link I'm going to keep in the show notes, and there's no instructions for Windows 7. It just says Vista, but use the Vista instructions. And I followed it to basically block pop-ups from that program where you get to manually navigate and point to that executable, and it is awesome. I don't get pop-ups anymore from Avira, and that is very cool. And the reason I'm sharing this, even if you're not an Avira user, check out the technique and the use of Windows on blocking pop-ups from a program. Very cool. This is from Aaron. Just came to mind. Hey, Mike. Aaron here from Tennessee. For the last few weeks, I have been listening to a lot of your podcasts, and I'm really enjoying them. And not only have been helpful, but entertaining. Today, I was going through your site and looking at some of the tools other people have mentioned and some you have talked about and liked. I had a thought of a way to run some good tools on a computer that has so many pop-ups on startup that you can't really do anything to. What I've done is used a USB drive with Ubuntu on it, went into the C drive from there. I go into startup folders and placed a tool like CombiFix, so that way it automatically starts when the computer is booted. I haven't really tested it yet on an infected machine, and I was just wondering if anyone else has tried this and what luck they've had with it. This sounds like a good idea. Keep up the good work. And sorry about all the misspelling and errors in this email. Spelling really isn't my strong suit. No problem. What a great idea, and I've never thought of that, which is adding the fix, for like a combo fix, to an infected computer where maybe, and that's only if you're able to even navigate to that startup, and if you can and you can save it, then you can just hit the power button and then kill it and then power up and then if that will run first. And see, it depends on the order of execution. Will the virus or infection execute before the startup? And I'm not sure. And it depends on, you know, where the infection is coming from and auto starting. But again, a great tip. This is from Jay. I've been listening to you for about a year now on my daily commute to work, and your podcast is my number one listening choice for the trip. Thanks for contributing such a valuable show to the community. Your efforts are really appreciated. I haven't heard you mention this in your previous show, so I thought I would pass it along to you. And it's the FBI Disinfect Your Computer or Risk Losing Internet Access come July. Back in 2007, there was a Trojan in the wild called DNS Changer that infected many machines and redirected their DNS records to rogue servers. These servers delivered web ads to the machines and racked up millions for the crooks who implemented it. The FBI managed to seize the rogue DNS servers last year. They decided to convert them into legitimate DNS servers so that all the infected machines would once again run normally. However, given the cost of maintaining these servers, the FBI is planning on pulling the plug on July 9th. They are attempting to notify people now of this so that they can check their machines and make DNS server updates now to avoid going offline on this date. The following website has been set up to provide information regarding this event and includes pages on how to detect if your system has been infected with the Trojan and how to fix it. And it's www.dcwg.org. I thought I'd share this with your listening audience so that they are aware and could take some previous preventive measures with their clients now. All the best, Jay. And I want to thank Jay for that. Also, I've received similar recommendations and one from Kate from a while back. And I guess I've never got to it, never checked it out. And I went to the website and you can check it. Certainly, if you were infected with this and your DNS changed, I take that for granted. And it's so easy. I mean, I know what my DNS servers are, but I forget that there are so many people out there that could have been infected by this. And then with the FBI changing those DNS servers to be real DNS servers, you wouldn't know you had a problem. So when they turn them off, if you have your DNS server set to this, you will not be able to navigate the internet. Great tip, and I'm glad to share that. This is Ron, and this is Ron Homer from the chat. And he says, hi, Mike. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but Sophos, and Sophos, by the way, I love, as a corporate solution for antivirus in your corporate environment. Sophos is a great program, has released a free on-demand virus removal tool for anyone to download. I'm going to put the link here below. There is also a few YouTube videos that Sophos put on the page as well, so you can see how it works. Great show as always, Mike. Thank you for always teaching me something new every week. Ron, thank you for that. And it's good to get the word out on Sophos because that is a really good program. And if you are in a corporate environment where you have to purchase antivirus and you need to manage it with many, many systems, one of the things Sophos offers, if you purchase the licensing for your business, you are allowed to freely distribute Sophos to employees that they can put it on their home machines for free. Great program. Great antivirus program, and I've talked about them in the past because I had to do an antivirus bake-off for a very, very large client, and it was Sophos against Symantec, against McAfee, and Trend, and Sophos kicked their butts and was the winner. Windows deployment services question. Hi, Mike. Just started watching your show a couple weeks ago, and I enjoy it a lot. I have a computer engineering background, but haven't really used it until recently, where I am now an IT admin for a healthcare provider. We have several new computers, all the same, that I was trying to use WDS to make them all the same settings and programs, but I can't seem to get the final step deployment installation to work. I have set up WDS on 2008 R2 server and have a reference Windows 7 64-bit machine that I have captured to the server, and now I am trying to Pixie install, that's a Pixie boot is a network boot install, to the other machine. I get the network load to start, and I'm able to select the boot image to use x64 and then install, and then instead of loading into WDS image startup, it loads into Windows recovery options. Do you have any idea why it does this? And this is from Dave. And I do not know, but I will say this. For a Pixie network boot, for redoing your system, there's actually a free solution out there. Off the tip of my tongue, I don't have the answer, but I will find it. I know I've mentioned it in past shows, and I'm going to link it again. And you may... I know this isn't an answer to your specific problem in doing it this way, but there is another solution that I know actually works better, and it's free. I will get that link and put it in the show notes. But if you have any help for Dave, please send me a recommendation, and I'll pass it on. In a pre-show, I mentioned about getting a Cronus for $9, and then I forgot to mention it, how to do it. Well, the trick is, if you need a Cronus and you're running Windows XP, you don't need the newest version. You can get like a Cronus True Home Image 2009, so a couple years old, and you can usually get that for like $10 or sometimes less from Newegg or Amazon. Check out Amazon and search for the 2009 version of a Cronus. Now, if you are running the latest, greatest operating system, well, I wouldn't recommend a Cronus because you have Windows 7 that has imaging built in, so you don't need it. I'm really just talking about Vista and XP. Why not buy the older version and have it, and it will work fine. So that was, it wasn't that I had a trick for getting the latest version for $9. It's the answer is you can buy an older version since you're going to be using it on an older operating system. So just looking at things differently and getting you to, you know, think a little different. This is the email from Kate where she has an article on the check for the DNS changer, and I will have that in the show notes, Kate's article that you can check out. This is from Mark, who is me, Claudius, in the chat. Printer driver suggestions. Hi, Mike. I am looking for some suggestions. I have a client who uses an older Fargo Persona C11 ID printer to print plastic ID cards for their organization from a web-based database application. The printer is no longer is supported by the vendor, and their current office desktop is now Windows 7, 64-bit Home Premium. And there are no C11 printer drivers for Windows 7 that I can find anywhere. At present, they keep an old XP laptop in the conference room and go in there to do ID maintenance and print cards. I thought maybe I could share the conference room XP attached C11 printer, and you can't, with their Office Windows 7 machines, which I was able to, but of course it still requires the Windows 7 drivers because you're running it from a Windows 7 machine. And Windows 7 computer, which got me nowhere. Any suggestions? Maybe virtual XP, maybe remote into the laptop. And that's where I'm heading with this. If someone needs to print to that particular printer the ID cards, maybe share a folder. I don't know if they have to update files on there. So you share that out, so this way someone can write the ID file that they need in a shared directory on that desktop, and then open it up for anybody who needs it to just remote control in. Let them RDP in. And you can make it so easy by automating this process with an icon on the Windows 7 desktop that automatically launches RDP and connects directly to that machine. So you can help it out a little bit by automating it, but there's no real solution unless you get a Windows 7 print driver, which you may never be able to find. Your kind of rig solution of having an XP system connected directly to it, that's the only way to do it. I have a client with the same problem, a check program that is no longer supported. It cannot run in Windows 7. It cannot. It will not work in Vista or Windows 7. And they have to be able to print these specialized checks with the Micr ink. And what we did is we set up an XP workstation with that dedicated printer and that special software that cannot run anywhere else. And they're able to just print. As Jerry put, you know, a VM, certainly that's a good workaround virtualization. But I'll tell you what, since you already have the machine and it's already hooked up, just RDP into it. I think you kind of have the answer. We are going to save a couple emails for the next show. We got pretty close to the end here. I have some music at the end of the show. And this song, when I was watching the movie Moneyball again, I think the song is in the show once, but certainly at the end of the movie, when I heard this tune, I could not get it out of my head. This is the song. It's called The Show, and I'll have a link to how you can get this from Amazon for the soundtrack from Moneyball, but it's a cute little song. Give a listen.
I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. Slow it down, make it stop, or else my heart is going to pop. 'Cause it's too much, yeah it's a lot, to be something I'm not. I'm full out of love, 'cause I just can't get enough. Yeah, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out, it's bringing me down. I know I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show. The sun is hot in the sky, just like a giant spotlight. The people follow the signs and synchronize in time. It's a joke, nobody knows. They got a ticket to the show. Yeah, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out, it's bringing me down. I know I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show. Oh, just enjoy the show. Oh, I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out, it's bringing me down. I know I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show. Dum de dum, da dum de dum. Just enjoy the show, da-dum dee dum, da-dum dee dum. Just enjoy the show. I want my money back, I want my money back, I want my money back. Just enjoy the show. I want my money back, I want my money back, I want my money back. Just enjoy the show.
Great little song. I couldn't get it out of my head after watching Moneyball, and the movie ends with that song with Brad Pitt listening to it. That's by his daughter, the actress who plays his daughter in the show, records that, puts it on a CD for him, and he plays that. The original song is by Lenka, and if you search that or Google that, you'll find where she's appeared on Conan and The Tonight Show, and it's just a great little song. And I'll have a link where you can get that version directly from Amazon, very inexpensive. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for downloading, subscribing the show, joining me early tonight. We got a little early start here on Thursday night. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I will see you next week. Talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.